When we reach that city of the New Jersey, come on, we gonna sing, gonna sing. Oh, by, yeah, how that mighty chorus shall together lift that. Come on, we gonna sing, gonna sing. Oh, by, well, I'm singing now. Oh, oh, joy, when we get. Come on, we gonna rest in the oh cloud. You know that in that land all saints will never die. Come on, we gonna sing, gonna sing. Oh, by, well, I'm singing now. Oh, oh, joy, when we get. Come on, we gonna rest beneath, oh, cloud. You know that in that land all saints will never. Come on, we gonna sing, gonna sing. Oh, by, well, I'm singing now. Oh, oh, joy, when we get. Come on, we gonna rest beneath, oh, cloud. Let you know that in that land all saints will never. Come on, we gonna sing, gonna sing. Oh, by and by, the Lord is able. Lord is able to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord is able to make me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is able to anoint my head with oil and cause my cup of blessing to run over. The Lord is able to turn burdens into blessings. The Lord is able to turn pain into power. The Lord is able to turn adversity into advantage. Oh, I tell you today, the Lord is able. The Lord is able. And the Lord is all right. Can you say the Lord is all right? He's all right. He's all right. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, we're certainly happy to have all of those who are visiting with us. I think Sister Blanson's lovely daughter is here. And we're delighted to have you today and others who with us today. I want to call your attention to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. And I want to commence the reading at the first verse, Acts chapter 5, and I want to begin at the first verse. Acts 5, verse number 1, beginning. Have that say amen. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Using that text, I want to talk from the subject, the devil made me do it, and I let him. I want to say that again. The devil made me do it, and I let him. Many times when we see someone has done something or engaged in a behavior that catches our attention, we wonder, why did he or she do such a thing? We try to understand the motives or the motivation behind any particular behavior, because for everything we do, we have a reason. Everything we do, we have a motive. Whether one engages in criminal or outrageous or even egregious behavior, one has a motive. And whether one engages in charitable, noble, benevolent acts of kindness, one has a motive. Now, we are all blessed with a profound gift from God. And that gift is the gift of free will, the gift of free moral agency. So in one sense, God can motivate us to do things, but we have to let him. The devil can motivate us to do things, but again, we have to let him or permit him. So this morning, I want to explore this subject, very important subject. I want to talk about two things as this message develops. I want to talk about, number one, the devil made them do it, and they let him. Point number two is, we need God's help to deal with the devil. Now, when we make the statement, the devil made me do it, I'm sure you've heard that. Flip Wilson used to talk about it, the devil made me do it. And there is an element of truth in it, that the devil certainly can make us do something. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, the devil instigated the deed, but they were also responsible for what happened. In the Garden of Eden, the devil motivated Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit, but also she had some responsibility in doing it as well. So the Bible says, Brother Hillary, go over to Romans 6 and verse 16. The Bible makes a very important statement in Romans 6 and verse number 16 that we need to think about. And I want to have that particular passage read. I want you to read it first of all, Brother Hillary, from the King James. And then I want you to read that verse from the New International Version. Romans 6, 16 from the King James, first of all. And then I want you to read it in the NIV. What does it say, Brother Hillary? Read it.
Know ye not?
Know ye not?
That to whom ye yield yourself?
That to whom you yield yourself.
Servants to obey.
Servants to obey.
His servants ye are.
His servants you are.
To whom ye obey.
To whom you obey. So I belong to today to whoever I obey. It's not merely about saying Lord, Lord, or engaging in verbal gymnastics. One has to render obedience to God. Read it, Brother Hillary.
Whether of sin unto
death. Whether of sin, which leads to death. If I'm out there sinning, it's because the devil is making me do it, but I let him. If I'm trying to live a life of holiness and righteousness and conformity to the will and the way of God, it's because the Lord is motivating me to do it, and I let him. Read, Brother Hillary.
Or of obedience.
Or of obedience.
Unto righteousness.
Unto righteousness. Uh-huh.
But God be thanked.
God be thanked.
That ye were the servants
ye
of sin.
Ye were the servants of sin.
But ye have obeyed from
but
the heart.
You have obeyed from the heart. That when you obey God truly, you obey from the heart. You obey God sincerely. You obey God conscientiously. Is that right? And when you obey God in that manner, then God blesses your life. Read, Brother Hillary.
That form of doctrine.
That form of teaching or that doctrine that you received.
Which was delivered unto
you. Which was delivered unto you.
Being then made free.
At that point you were made free.
From sin.
From sin. Amen.
You became the servant.
You became the servant of God. The moment you become free from sin, you become or we become the servants of God. Now, read those two verses from the NIV and let's see if we can get a little more clarification and understanding on this particular text.
Don't you know?
Don't you know
that when you offer yourselves,
whoever you offer yourself
to someone to obey him as slaves,
to obey him as slaves,
you are slaves to the one whom
you are slaves to the one you obey.
Whether you are slaves to sin,
whether you are a slave to who?
To sin,
which leads to death,
or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, But thanks be to God. That thou you. That though you used to be slaves to sin.
Though you used to be a slave to sin.
You wholeheartedly. Obeyed the form of teaching.
Obeyed the teaching of Jesus.
To which you were entrusted.
You
have been set free.
From sin.
And have become slaves.
You know, it's all right to be a slave of Jesus. It's all right to be. If you're going to be a slave, be a slave of Jesus. Is that all right? Now, the Bible gives us a lot of counsel and insight about the devil. It lets us know that the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. The devil can masquerade. Amen. The Bible also lets us know that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible also lets us know that the devil will take advantage of us if we are ignorant of his devices. Is that all right? The Bible also lets us know that the devil is a liar, he's a murderer, and he is an oppressor. Is that all right? The Bible also lets us know the devil has a threefold agenda, and that agenda is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is that right? And so the devil, you're going to deal with the devil. I know we're living in 2011, and I know we have all kind of high-tech innovations. Amen. We have Wi-Fi and high-tech stuff. Amen. We have Kindle. Amen. Because this is a high-tech church. Oh, I wish I had some help here. But you're still going to have to deal with the devil in 2011, and your cell phone can't help you to handle the devil. Your laptop can't help you to handle the devil. But you're going to have to face the devil. Is that right? Now, in order for us to understand what's taking place here in Acts chapter 5, brothers and sisters, I want you to open your Bibles back to Acts chapter 4. Now, there are some key verses here in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse number 32. Acts 4, because you really can't understand what's taking place in Acts chapter 5 if you don't look at the historical background of what takes place in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse number 32. Now, Jesus Christ had established his blood-bought church, and the Lord Jesus Christ had paid the price for the church by shedding his precious blood on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. And that church was a glorious church. You know, something was wonderful in the church. The church ought to be a place where people can get their praise on. The church ought to be a place where people can feel better about themselves. The church is the place where the man with a PhD and a man who can't read can sit on the same bench and be brothers. And they can have something in common. Is that all right? No matter how messed up your life is, Jesus Christ and the church ought to help you to straighten it out. Is that all right? The church ought not to be an icebox. It ought to be a hospital for souls. And the church, something wonderful was happening in the church. Something glorious was happening in the church. And I want you to look at verse 32 with me. And it says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And first of all, there was a wonderful attitude in the church. It was a wonderful attitude in the church. And we say sometime that we want to be like that first century church. Is that what we say? I guess we don't say it. Y'all didn't say nothing. Like that first century church. Well, look at the attitude. Look at verse 32. It says that, listen, it say, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the thing which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Now, that passage does not deny the right, and we're going to show in this lesson that Christians can individually own land, houses, possession. But the attitude was, the people had a spirit of a pre-decor. They were so together that they said, we got one heart and one soul, and whatever we got, everybody's got. Y'all all right? Look at the next verse. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Now look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So if people had a need, the church used its resources to make sure that everybody in the kingdom had what they needed from a material standpoint. And there was a certain man named Barnabas. Look at the next verse, verse 36. And Hoses, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas. Watch this now, very important thing. Which is being interpreted the son of consolation. That is the son of encouragement. Barnabas was known for his spirit of encouragement. We need more Barnabas in the church. We need more like Dorcas in the church. Is that right? That encourage people in the church. Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. Watch this. A Levite from the tribe of Levi. He was a Jew from the tribe of Levi and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what you got to see, church, is that there's a wonderful thing happening in the church. There's a wonderful spirit happening in the church. People are selling the land, and they are selling it, and they are taking the money, and they are giving it to the apostles. They are to make sure that money is distributed so everybody can have what they need. Now we're ready for chapter 5. So that's the background of Acts chapter 5. Now what the Holy Spirit does is lays in holy contrast what we see in chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. Now look at chapter 5. But now, if you notice in chapter 5 is introduced with a but. You see that? Do you see that, church? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, but. That introduces a contrast. Now, what do we have in chapter 4? The church glorifying God. Is that right? Appreciate Brother Brandon's prayer. The church should be a place where God is glorified and people are edified. Is that right? So God is being uplifted. God is being glorified. But introduces a contrast. You know, if somebody tell you, you know, you preached a good sermon, but then you get scared then. You cooked a good dinner, but you did all right, but Whenever you hear but, after somebody done gave you a pat on the back, you know you got to brace yourself for what's about to come. Is that correct? So now we introduce a contrast in chapter 5. But a certain, now we introduce to a husband and wife team. And really, there is no closer bond on earth than a husband and a wife. Did you know that? Did you know a husband and wife are closer than a mama and a daughter or a father and a son? Y'all didn't know that? Y'all didn't know that? Let me ask again. Y'all didn't know that? That's support because a man leaves his father and his mother and he cleaves. You see, in marriages, you ought to use super glue, not Elmer's glue. Come on, y'all. Y'all all right? Because that word cleave means to be glued. And then it say, and they become one flesh. If you're married to somebody, they influence you. Thank you, Sister Mary, but I can't hardly get this lesson gonna be this way all the way through. Can't get no help in here this morning. Amen. And so this husband-wife team sees the spirit of what's happening in the church. People are rising to new levels. People are being blessed. And they want part of that. They want the praise. They want the credit. So what did they do? They sold some land. Y'all with me? But they kept back, which means they separated for themselves a part of it for themselves. And then they brought what remained and laid it at the apostles' feet for distribution. Now on the outside that looks pretty good, doesn't it? But the Holy Spirit, a third member of the Godhead, is guiding the apostles. He is guiding them in all truth. He's guiding them in doctrine. He's guiding them in discernment. Are y'all with me? And so, let's look at the text. And so, verse 5 says, but a certain man named Ananias. Now, let me talk about their names, because their name, they have some great names. And the name Ananias means Jehovah hath been gracious. The name Sapphira in Greek means sapphire, or in Arabic it means beautiful. So they have two beautiful names, Ananias and Sapphira. But they don't live up to their name. You see, you have a name for a reason. You have a name for a reason. And if you're a child of God, God has given you a new name. And we have to live up to the name that we have. Sometime God has to change your name. People change their names. Did you know that Louis Farrakhan changed his name? He was Louis Walcott, and he changed his name to Farrakhan. Ron Artest has changed his name to World Peace. Y'all all right? Kareem Lewis-Sender changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Cassius Clay changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. Y'all all right? God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarah's name to Sarah. He changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. Jesus gave Simon a new name. He changed his name from Simon to Peter. He said, you become a rock. You become a stone. Names mean something. Ananias, Jehovah hath been gracious. Sapphira, Sapphire, beautiful. They didn't live up to their names. You know, you ought to know what your name means. Whatever your name is. Amen. If it's Ray J, if your mama mixed two names together, she had something in mind when she named you. Come on, y'all. Is that right? So whatever your name is, you have to live up to. And so they sold the land. They brought it in. And then Peter began, with the Holy Spirit, began to ask some crucial question. And he said to him, watch this now. He said, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You see, the devil made him do it, but he let him. Y'all with that? He raised, and I'm going to tell you something. The devil will fill my heart and your heart if you let him. The devil put some stuff on my mind this week. I'm the only one in here. Right? Devil didn't put nothing on your mind this week? Devil got some on some of y'all mind right now. I wish you heard me get through. I got to go eat. That's the devil. Is that all right? That's the devil. You can sit at the game 3 hours. If I preach an hour, y'all swear I done sinned. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? He said that Ananias, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, saying, why hath Satan filled your heart? The devil made him do it, but he let him, because he was responsible. Let's go further. He said, to keep back part of the price of the land. Because, and then notice in verse 4, he told him that before you sold that land, it was yours. After you sold it, it was yours. You didn't even have to sell it. You didn't even have to give the church anything that belonged to it. You got the right to private ownership. But the question is, why have you allowed the devil to fill your heart? To lie. And whenever I lie, I was joking with a guy one time. I said, man, you right and you ain't never lied. He said, no, that ain't true. Because pretty much, I'm going to tread lightly here. Pretty much, most of us done told some stories. I put it like that. Is that right? And whenever I was deceitful, I allowed Satan to fill my heart. The devil can fill it, but you got to let him. Because you got free will. He can't make you do anything without your permission. But let's go further. And then he asked him, he said, look at the latter part of verse 4. He said, why hast thou conceived, look at that word, conceived this thing? That is, Satan planted a thought in your mind and you let it grow. It was an evil thought. It was a bad thought. It was the wrong thought. It was a misguided thought. It was a misdirected thought. And you let it grow. You let it fester. You let it grow in your heart. James 1:12 talks about a man is drawn away after his own lust. And when sin hath conceived, and when sin conceives, it's when my desire and my will unite. That's when sin conceived. When I may have a thought, I may have a desire, I know it ain't right to do, and I got the desires in my mind, but I don't have a real problem until that desire unites with my will, when I act on it. Because Satan put the thought, sell the land but lie about it. Y'all all right? Sell the land but lie about it. You ain't got to tell the truth about it. Just sell it, and you'll get the same credit that everybody else getting. They'll pat you on the back. But Peter said, Ananias, your name means Jehovah hath been gracious. But Ananias, you're not living up to your name, because you have allowed Satan to fill your heart. Did the devil make him do it, church? Yeah, he did, didn't he? But he let him. But let's move on. Time getting away. And so after he said this, the Bible said that he expired. He stopped breathing. He fell. When he heard the word, he fell down, Sister Long, and he died. And the folk were just looking. 3 hours later, Sapphira, beautiful, walked in. She was a widow, but she didn't know it. Her husband was dead, but she didn't know she was a widow. Nobody had told her what had happened. When she walked in 3 hours later, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Peter, gave her a chance to tell the truth. Look at the verse. Drop down. Verse 7. About the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. She was a widow, wasn't she? Wasn't she? But she didn't know it. Right? So she comes in 3 hours later, Sister Pat, and let's see what happened. She comes in 3 hours later, and then the Holy Spirit through Peter, look at verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She had a chance then to do what? Tell the truth or lie about it. She had a chance to tell the truth or stand on the lie. Y'all all right? And she said, because her and her husband at home had got together and they agreed to tell the lie. One time I was in a business situation, and I just tell you this, I wanted something, I wanted it bad, and the guy told me, well, he said, well, Moss, in order for you to get it, you got to lie about it. Well, I thought about it. Well, y'all looking at me like that? I thought about it, Rachel. And then I said, no, I ain't gonna lie about it. I can't do that. He said, well, let me tell the lie. This act like I'm, y'all. Well, I thought about that. Well, let me see. 16 power carry to 2. I said, no, I don't want you to lie for me. In that instance, and I wouldn't dare stand here and say I'm a perfect man, far from it, ain't even close. Ask my wife and children. Ain't even close. But I told him, I said, I would rather let it go than to have it. A good friend of mine had a business and got in trouble, so he came to me. He called me on the phone. He said, man, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. He said, I done got in trouble with my business. I really got in trouble with my business, and I need some money. And he said some drug folks came to me, and they made me an offer. I'm talking about a Christian brother. And he said, I'm thinking about taking it. And I said, brother, it's a price you pay for taking that blood or that dirty money. You better think about that. When you cut a deal with the devil, you're going to always lose. If you shoot dice with the devil, you're going to always lose because he always plays dice with loaded dice. And you shouldn't be shooting no dice with him no way. Is that all right? So Sapphira comes in. Tell me, did you sell it for so much? And she said, yes. Then the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter again said, how is it that you and your husband have come together to tempt God, a God who cannot be deceived? All-knowing God, an all-wise God who knows everything about him. He can't be misled. And told him this fraud, this perpetration of this deceit will not stand. And when she heard the word, he told her that the men who carried your husband out are standing at the door and they're going to carry you out. Because Satan filled her heart. But she let him. If I'm feeling jealous or envious of somebody, that's the devil trying to put something in my heart. Hello, y'all. And I can let him in. Here's my final point. And that is, we need God's help to deal with the devil. Is that right? The Bible says that we got to deal with the devil, don't we? That's why, Brother Hillary, I need Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says you got to guard your heart with all, for out of it are the issues of life. Is that correct? Out of it are the issues of life. Amen. And if you don't guard your heart, if I don't guard my heart, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, is going to fill my heart if I don't prevent it. But the Bible says, if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. It says, don't give place to the devil. Is that right? It says, put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to talk about that briefly, and this lesson is going to be yours. Put on the whole armor of God for what purpose? That you can stand against what? The tricks of the devil. Because the devil is trying to get me to sin. Hello? He's trying to keep me sinning. He's trying to get me to sin, and I can sin and never confess it. Hello? And he's trying to get me to die in sin. Is that right? He want to get me to sin, keep sinning, living in sin, and eventually die in sin. God is trying to get me to leave sin, accept holiness, accept Jesus Christ. When I die, I can go to heaven and be with the Lord. Is that right? Now, a lot of people have heard the news. They hear the morning news. They hear the evening news. They hear the afternoon news. They hear world news. They hear national news. They hear local news. But I want to ask you a question. Have you really heard the good news? I mean, the sure enough good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ gives victory. There's victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, his precious blood atoning. I then repented of my sins and I gained the victory. Is that all right? And every time the devil tried to fight Jesus, he lost. He tried to get Jesus to give up the mission, he lost. He tried to get Jesus to don't go to the cross, he lost. He tried to get Jesus to forget about trying to save folks, he lost. Is that right? And Jesus Christ shows me the way where I can win over the devil. But now let me do this for you real quick. Now, I want to give you that. I think this is real practical. Now, there are seven things you got to have if you're going to deal with the devil. It's called the whole armor of God. And a lot of time, you know, we really don't break down that teaching. It's metaphorical teaching. But I want to break it down. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Do this quickly. I want to break down the whole armor of God. I want to show you how this works in real life. Do you know how to put on God's armor in real life? Do you? Now, it's seven things you got to have in your life to deal with the devil. Seven things. That armor consists of seven pieces. Seven pieces. The first piece is truth. having your loins girt about with truth. If you don't deal in truth, devil already got you. You shall know the, and the truth shall. So if truth is not operating in your life, that means deceit and lies are operating. So you got to have truth in your life to protect you from all the deception, all the lies, all the darkness that's taking place in the world today. You got to tell yourself the truth. Is that right? The second element you got to have in your life is righteousness, which is described as the breastplate. A breastplate protects vital. Now, how does it work in real life? You got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you don't care nothing about righteousness, the devil already got you. If you don't hunger and thirst, if being righteous and holy in God's sight is not important to you, Satan has already gained a significant victory. If you don't care about truth, Satan has already gained a significant victory. So in order for me to hound the devil, to keep the devil from filling my heart, I got to deal in truth. A lot of people in religion, they talk about they love God but don't love truth. You can't love God and not want truth. If you love God, you follow truth wherever it leads. If God says it's one church and you got to be in it, you can't fight that. You got to get with the program. Because if you don't, Satan has the third thing you got to have is preparation. It says having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is, you got to be prepared. You got to be ready. The gospel gets you ready for anything that can happen in your life. Lose your job, get sick, die. You don't get no bigger than that, do it? I mean, you die. That's pretty significant, ain't it? Mess around here and die. Well, the gospel is called the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, God gets me ready for whatever is going to happen. I don't know. I might get stricken with a terminal illness. But it ain't hopeless. Are y'all listening? I may lose all my stuff, but it still ain't over. Wife might decide she don't want me no more. Oh, Lord. But it ain't over. The preparation, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then the fourth thing you got to have in your life is faith. It's called the shield. It's the above all, taking the shield of faith. You got to have faith to fight the fiery missiles the devil is shooting at you. He's shooting at everybody. Man, the devil can shoot stuff at you, get you so upset, get you so mad, get you so disturbed, you can't even sleep at night. He can set your pillow on fire, set your bed on fire. Is that right? So my faith helps me to quench all of the. How many of y'all used to watch Rawhide? Y'all like them westerns? How many of y'all like Big Valley? Old Nick Barkley. Boy, I liked old. No, Nick was tough, wasn't he? I liked old Nick's spelling. But, you know, sometimes the Indians would shoot arrows that would set. Whatever the flaming arrow would hit, it set it on. And sometimes Satan can just set it off. You can have a situation in your house, it just blow up at home. That's a missile. It could blow up on your job. That's a missile. It could blow up in your finances. That's a missile. It could blow up in your health. That's a missile. Is that all right? It could blow up in your relationships. That's a missile. Is that all right? It could blow up your faith. And you say, I ain't going to accept Jesus no more. That's a missile. And then the fifth thing you got to have. Watch this. It's salvation. It's called the helmet of salvation. That is, you got to have the idea of salvation in your mind. You got to keep thinking salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we nick? So what? So what do I do? I wear salvation as a helmet. I think about it. That's my destiny. Salvation. Is that right? It says in Philippians 2, work out your own. That's the, and when you're working out your salvation, you have on the helmet of salvation. Y'all all right? The sixth thing you got to have in your life is the word. And the word is called the sword of the spirit. You see that? And the more knowledge you have of the word, and the more skillfully you can use it, then the more victories you have over Satan. The devil takes advantage of people who don't know the word. Is that all right? And even when the word is printed or preached or taught, the Bible says he comes and he takes away the word, lest one should believe and be saved. The word is called the sword of the spirit. You got to have the word to deal with Satan. If you don't, he'll make you do it. But you ain't got to let him. And then finally, here's number seven. You got to have prayer. Now watch this. This gets real deep. He talks about praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. That is, as the Bible directs. And then he says in that text, verse 18, he says, you pray for all saints. You pray for all saints. Not just the ones you like. I know you're looking, you know that's right. Praying for all saints. And why do you do it? Because you don't want saints to become spiritual casualties or prisoners of war. So the Bible says men should always. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sperl. I was telling my brother just yesterday, you know, I try to pray a lot. I don't come close to praying as much as I need to. It's a lot of stuff going on in my life needs some prayer. Can you say amen to that? I got stuff going on in my life that I need to pray for. You got stuff going on in your life I need to pray for. I got stuff going on in my life you need to pray for. Amen. So like I told you about the one who was talking about her husband. Say he ain't no good. He low down dirty. And I don't like him. And the preacher said, well, have you prayed for him? She said, well, no, I ain't thought about that. If you're going to talk about it, don't you think you ought to pray for him? Oh, I wish I had some help here. And if you put these things on, I'm concluding now. You put these seven things on. It's called a whole armor. I tried to give you a practical utilization of the seven elements. Because if you don't understand about a breastplate and what it does, and a helmet and what it does, what a sword does, amen, then you can't successfully defend yourself from the devil. Because let me tell you something, and you better believe this, if you don't put on the armor, the devil going to get you. This is the only way. This is why God gave us the armor, because this is the only way we can deal with the devil. And let me tell you something, whether you believe it or not, you got another week coming up, you got to face the devil. The day of temptation is coming, the evil day. When you face evil this week, you might face evil today. How you going to deal with it? You're going to need truth to deal with it. You're going to need righteousness to deal with it. Readiness to deal with it. Faith to deal with it. Salvation to deal with it. The word to deal with it. Prayer to deal with it. Is that right? And when you do it, and then you can tell the devil, do what? Get back. And notice something, the Bible never tells you to flee from the devil. It tells you to put him to flight. You resist, you submit to God and resist the devil. Look at submit, resist, submit, resist, submit, resist. Submit to God, resist the devil. What happens? The devil does what? He flees from you. Is that correct? So I'm closing now. I'm going to my seat. But I tell you, it may have been your experience. I don't know. It may have been your experience that I can say, Brother Moss, I got to be honest this morning, because I know if I confess my sin, I'm gaining the victory. Is that right? And I got to admit this morning that the devil made me do it, and I let him. Is that right? Well, I'm glad I got some good news for you. And that good news is there's victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, I hear him saying, Dr. West, Brother West, I hear him saying in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Sparks, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then I see in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it said, Jesus was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Is that all right? And if you don't know how to handle the devil, you ought to watch the master work. Is that all right? Because the devil got behind Jesus. Jesus went down to the Jordan River, and John baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened up. Is that all right? The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Is that all right? And then after he came up out of the water, dripping from the Jordan River, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Is that all right? And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Didn't he say that? Is that all right? That was round one, and round one went to Jesus. Is that all right? Round two, the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and told him, since you say you live by the way, cast yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Is that all right? But Jesus said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Is that all right? Round two went to Jesus. Is that all right? Then I moved around three, took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and all their glory. Is that all right? And he told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Didn't he say that? But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Is that all right? Round three went to Jesus. Is that all right? But I must admit, on round four, it looked like the devil won. Is that all right? Because he put him on the old rugged cross. Is that all right? Round five, it looked like the devil won, because they took him down from the cross spot and they put him in the grave, and he was in the grave all night, Friday night. Is that all right? Round six looked like the devil had won, because Jesus was in the grave all day and all day Saturday. Is that all right? But I tell you, round seven, early, Sunday morning, the devil said, Jesus is getting up from the grave. Is that all right? He got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. Is that all right? Said, I'm he that once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Is that all right? And because of that, I have a sinless Savior. Because of that, I have a perfect Redeemer. Because of that, I have a sympathizing High Priest. Is that all right? And I ought to praise him, because the victory is mine. And Jesus said, no, you're not going to fill my heart. I ain't going to let you do it. And even though I'm tempted in all points, I'm not going to let you do it. And if I follow Jesus, stand on your feet. I won't let him do it. Amen. church, we're in a spiritual war. Did you know that? Sister Pat Vance talks about spiritual warfare. She's correct. We're in a spiritual war. I've been fighting all week. Had the armor on all week. Didn't you? You can't afford to take the armor off. You got to keep the armor on at all times. Is that right? Brother Harris is a military man. He know about the armor. You got to know how to use your weapons. Some of y'all ain't been to basic training. Hello, y'all. That's why you can't use the armor. You got to go to basic training where you can learn how to use the armor. Is that all right? So I asked this morning, you had a week, and did the devil win or did the Lord win? Ask yourself a question. Because I want to tell you something. If you sin this week and you didn't ask the Lord to forgive you, the devil wins. If you're living in sin, the devil wins. Amen. And you hear folks saying, I'm going to say that, you hear folks talk about moving in together. Hello. Like that's going to Baskin Robbins, I ordering two scoops of vanilla. When you move in with your boyfriend or girlfriend, the devil put that in your mind. You can't go fishing without a license. You can't drive. Well, I put it this way, you can do it, you shouldn't do it. I was finna say you can't drive a car without a license. I know a boy driving a car ain't got no license nor insurance. And then had a wreck. Amen. But the devil can make you do it. But it is the Holy Spirit who makes me confess my faults and my sins and ask for strength. That's the Holy Spirit in me. Amen. And I don't want the devil to feel my heart. So we're going to offer the invitation today. And if you're here today and you need the Lord, if you're a Christian, you come by repenting, confessing, and praying. If you're not a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Amen. Y'all going to pray for the preacher? Going to pray for the congregation? Pray for all the saints in this congregation? That should be first on your list. Pray for every member of this church. Amen. Because we need it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, O hear my humble cry. You know that why on earth is thou art called. Oh, do not pass. I'm calling you, say, oh, say, why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth dost thou art called. Oh, do not pass.